We'd gotten here only moments ago, but already the place was abuzz over an altercation that had taken place when the Northern Cheyenne players had gotten off the bus. Someone had thrown one of those massive soft drink cups at one of the Lady Morningstars, who had retaliated by kicking and punching her way in the general direction of where the thing had been launched. It didn't take much imagination to figure out which player it had been. The Cheyenne Nation leaned back in the seat and studied the raucous crowd. The natives are restless. Uh-huh. He checked his cell phone. The Rosebud Sheriff's Department has finished clearing out Artie's fortification. Except for the shotgun you took. I arrogated it as tribute to my not getting cut in half by opening the door. Arrogated? It is a common term. I watched as the somewhat overwhelmed Lady Morningstars took the court to a chorus of boos. The team's bench was in front of us, a spot we'd arrogated in hopes of providing the team with a small buffer from the lodge grass crowd. The players looked out of sorts. Rosie Blackwolf was her usual meandering self. Stacy Kilsday squinted in the lights, missing more than she hit, as Missy Two Bears dribbled off her foot. Monona Sweethearter wasted her time flashing smiles at the stands, and Jaya ignored them all, as she always did, lively making layups and turnaround jumpers that would have put the fear of the Great Father having to guard her in me. There was a thunderous report as the entire place stood and cheered as the home team Indians, yes, Indians, took the court. Bedecked in orange and black, they looked to be not so big but tough. They jostled and bumped against one another during practice, their faces set in grim determination. How's their season been? Henry sighed. They barely made it into this playoff game. But for them, beating Lame Deer would be like winning the Super Bowl. So highly motivated? To say the least. And the Lady Stars are out if they lose? Yes. I don't like this. The referee and two umpires came out, calling the captains to the center court where a particularly stern-looking Indian chief in full headdress glared up, embedded into the gleaming floor. After a quick meeting, they cleared the court and went over to the timekeeper's table, checking the foul cards like they were going to get a workout tonight. They blew their whistles for the tip-off. As a young man with a large grass letterman's jacket approached the steps, focusing on me. You won't, Longmire? Yes. He pushed a piece of paper toward me. Somebody said to give this to you. Who? Some guy outside said it was important. And who are you? He looked anxious to get going. Trey. Trey what? Hey, man, a guy handed me this and gave me $5 to hand it to you, all right? I waved him off, and he continued up the steps of the bleachers, finally settling in with some other students along the railing that separated the general population from the student body. Something? Fan mail from some flounder. Turning from the bear, I unfolded the piece of paper and stared at the words, not unlike the threatening notes the girls had received. Meet me outside now. He grunted. We should go. No, somebody's got to stay here and keep an eye on Jaya. He glanced around. There are 1,000 people who are going to keep an eye on Jaya. I'll be fine. Save my seat. With her height advantage, Rosie Black Wolf easily outreached the opposing center, but when she tipped the ball, she thrust it in the hands of a lodge grass player, and the Indians quickly made a 3-pass push, resulting in the first basket. Hustling to get out of the way, I dodged into the opening and started down the hall toward the exit. Pushing open the door, I looked around at the parking lot, packed with vehicles. I felt the bite of the cold, nudged my hat down on my head, and flipped up the collar on my Carhartt. I stood there for a moment, then decided that either the kid was playing a trick on me or that whoever had given Trey the note had changed his mind. I started back for the doors when I heard a whistle. I turned. At the corner of the building was a collection of dumpsters and a few regular trash cans squeezed against the brick along with a rusted International Scout, a snowplow affixed to it. I waited a moment and then heard the whistle again. I walked in that direction until I got to the front of the Scout and looked around, but there was no one there. I started to turn back when a voice spoke from behind me. Don't move. Okay. The voice was male, low and probably native. You armed? Always. You? With more than you, I'm willing to bet. Then you won't mind if I turn around. Don't. Okay. I waited a moment. Are you the one who wrote the note?
I am.
Looks familiar. I pulled the bottom of my coat up and stuffed a hand into my pocket, getting it slightly closer to my Colt.
You write the others?
No.
Then why did you write this one?
I thought it might get your attention.
It did.
Look, if you're who I think you are, I'd like to turn around and talk to you.